Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone you gather. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
Born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom. Love my intro. Greetings. Thank you to everyone listening tonight. How great is he that finds wisdom, yet there's none above him that fears Yah. Hallelujah. And the fear of Yah is the beginning of love. I pray that you are able to hear our love that's ministered tonight, love that is first given before we can share with you. I'm your host, Sister Ashley. I live right here, boots on the ground at Straightway Hub, Straightway, Tennessee. Hallelujah. I'm the possession and wife of Deacon Bill, and I'm just a servant. So thank you again for your time. Mother Jennifer in Georgia, introduce yourself. Let's get a sound check.
Shalom. Bless you all, daughters of Zion. This is Mother Jennifer. I am the possession of Elder Rufus at Straightway, Georgia. It's an honor to be here tonight on another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray that everyone can hear me. And Sister Ashley, I thank you for having me on here with you. And I think we are good to go. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I am so thankful, my sisters, for a time like this, just a time in the ministry, a time in the earth where hearts get a chance to manifest. I bless the Father for expressing strength in minds, you know, minds that get the opportunity to change and to go forward and glorify Yah. I want the Father's kingdom more than anything, and I long for Him with every fiber of my being. There's no joy on this earth outside of Him, and I bless His holy name tonight for the life and the breath that He's given me. I'm thankful, hallelujah, for the addition to our shepherd's home, and I glorify Him for all life that He's breathed into mankind. I do, Mother Jennifer, want to exalt my husband, as we often just spend a brief moment giving acknowledgments. Never be bored by them, my sisters. It is in our hearts by nature to take the opportunity on this microphone to glorify our husbands, our shepherds, the men that lead us. And if you had this microphone, I pray that you would follow suit. But my husband's been a savior of my body, a ruler, even of my own mind. And he's a very gentle reminder of Yah's unconditional love for me. I've always and will always say stable and unmovable, never lusting for approval, you know, often overlooked, but never desires glory. He's a father. He's very content. Despite the neglect of his earthly father, he's never denied his family and his responsibility and his role, and I admire people who make no excuses. He committed to his family here before I met him 23 years ago. And he's never seen his biological family since. So I bless the Father for my husband and for his important role in my life for getting me to the kingdom. I am always and forever grateful for a shepherd. I'm often captivated by his style of ministering and preaching. Something, a little note about Ashley, though it doesn't matter. I've always paid attention to how people speak, how they conduct the pattern of their speech or the dynamic of their topics. And so as you hear and watch, you're able to, you know, just see the pattern of the Messiah, how he draws men by love and he judges men according to patience. And, you know, he's ruling his home and he's a friend and a brother and he's teaching so many how to escape the Gentile mind one step at a time. And the world in you will never know how intricate that routine is as a pastor, you know, having to function in his role and really just max out his capabilities day after day and never waver. I praise the Father for his strength. So, hallelujah. As I said earlier, my sisters, there's no joy on this earth outside of him. I pray that you are drawing near to him. I really pray that he's not just in your lips, but that he's in your heart. I pray that he not mock you in your day of calamity. I pray that you not draw near to him only in negative circumstances, only when things don't go right, only when you're emotional. I pray that you really draw near to him, even if so-called nothing is going on. I pray that you really fear him. It really pays off, the peace that passes understanding, the stability of your mind, the unmovable, unshakable spirit that can abide inside of you, that would be undeniable by your peers. He can do that. He can do that for you. So you just help allow him to root out all your instabilities and really cast your cares on him. Thanks to all the sisters here in this ministry who are committed, even committed within the communities to, you know, subject themselves or submit themselves to the members of your house, you know, the sister that has been given the opportunity to be married to a head or an elder. I bless each of you women that are networking together. Bless Goshen for all that the Father is allowing your hands to produce and your hearts to produce. I'm very, very thankful for any and everything you may have done for Shepherd, his family, while you were there. I don't want to waste a lot of time with all my thanks, but thank you again to everyone who attended the feast for all your giving and everyone who really Yah has placed his spirit in. And that spirit of truth that abides in you knows that you know that you know this is the Most High's people, and you have committed yourselves to serving our Elohim. Bless you. In the victorious name of Jesus, I give a shout out to my sister Adele. I had not presented it this way last week when I said shout out to her, but one of my favorite captivating moments of the feast was literally hearing her testimony. So intimate and so powerful, and the expression of her husband's faith, that Yah would move mountains for them. And so maybe in this side of glory. You'll be able to hear her story sometime, maybe on this show, who knows. But I'm very, very thankful, and I do not want to ever forget what the Most High has done for each of you. And if I've heard the story or not, I celebrate with you and rejoice with you that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you have a testimony. I pray that we all use each other's testimony to build our faith. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, let's hear from you. Acknowledgements, please.
Hallelujah. I just want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for continuing to sustain us and to keep Israel, for continuing to watch over us, and for always loving us. I really want to thank him for those who are coming out of her. You know, we have had so many saints over the past 2 weeks joining the Georgia Assembly who's been blessed to flee from the West Coast, and now they're safely tucked away here with the saints, all because of the provision and the love of the Most High Yah. So I just want to really acknowledge his faithfulness to us, his covenant to us, the fact that he will never break covenant with us at all. And I'm so thankful for his leading and him showing us how to be even more faithful to him as we continue in this walk. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for being such a man of strength and just a man of substance, a man who really just shows us how to truly walk and honor the Most High with all of his heart. He's never wavering, never moved by anything. It's an honor to just watch his walk with the Father and to see his relationship with Yah, to see him be a wife to the Most High, and that teaches me how to be a wife to him. I'm so thankful to be a covered woman in this ministry, and just to be able to follow his leading and to know that he is not a hypocrite, that he is a true man of Yah. If he says he's going to do something, he does it. I'm so thankful that he keeps his word, and I'm just thankful for the love that he shows for not only his immediate direct family, but the love that he shows for Israel. And finally, I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow. Many blessings to him and to his entire family, to the new addition in his home, for everything that he does for this ministry, never tiring at all, never complaining at all, always willing to serve the people, always putting himself last, always taking care of the people. Is something that you've never seen before in the world. You know, there was always preachers. Well, they called themselves preachers. They called themselves pastors, but they were always wanting to know what they could get from the people. So I'm so thankful to have a Jeremiah 3:15 pastor who has the true heart of Yah, and to know that we are truly safe. We are truly safe under his leading. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I'm thankful to live in the land of the living. And I want to give a shout out to all my homeschool moms. I, too, am a homeschool mom, and I get to be a part of other children's lives that are not just my own. And I love them dearly. I have to say that my life just wouldn't be the same if I just had Deacon Bill's children, you know. But being able to express more love and give more love to children outside of your home is very fulfilling. So I love having my days on this earth surrounded by children. I really do. They're easy to love, and I'm very, very thankful for the place that the Father has. I want to bring up Wynn Worley tonight. Wynn Worley is a old-timey minister, if I can say that, minister, deliverance minister, I think from Texas. Pastor Worley, it's W-O-R-L-E-Y-S. He's got some books and things that we initially followed years and years ago, but I have to say that we have applied what we learned. I applied what I learned through Pastor and the saints before me, and I think we've taken it to, at least for me, just being a deliverance helper, taking it to another level when the things that you've learned and applied are not even within his books. So I do want to bring them up because it came to my mind. It is something that you can dig into if you would like to order his pamphlets or his booklets. They are online. If it, you know, there's rejection, witchcraft control, and just different spirits that you may study about. But remember, any book that you get, you need to apply it. So it's not like we are promoting the series or him as a man who has now gone on, as if we get anything from it or any profit from it. But it is, it's just a good book series for you to have on your shelf if you desire and for you to apply it where it may fit in your husband's home. So ask permission, of course, to purchase that if you desire it. And any, 19 weeks, Mother Jennifer, 19 weeks, something like that, 20 maybe until Passover. And the reason I count is because being a homeschool mom, you want to maximize your curriculums and get your concepts taught in a time frame. And I like to get the school year in between the fall feast and Passover. The object is to start after the fall feast or maybe even right before, but to finish by Passover. That's my objective. I'm just sharing that with you guys. That does not have to be your goal at all, whatever works best for your husband's house. But for me, it works, so I see what kind of concepts I gotta teach and I gotta fit in, and that's why I know the count. So it's not like I'm just trying to go ahead and X off the days and waste the dead season away. I actually enjoy the dead season, not that it's fruitful, but there's a lot of good that comes out of it, and for me. But what about you, Mother Jennifer? Any announcements? Go ahead. Anything else?
Sister Ashley, I wanted to add to what you said about homeschool. And, you know, Straightway Tennessee, you all are homeschooling together. And we are doing the same thing here. We actually got that idea from Straightway Tennessee, and it has been very beneficial for the children and for the parents when you learn how to love someone else's child. That is not your own child, you know, then you do really see that child as your own, if that makes sense, what I'm saying. You learn how to communicate with that child. You learn their differences. You learn how to reach them through teaching. And it has been a great thing here, not only for the adults, but for the children. It is the women here, how to communicate in such a solid way. You know, we've learned to be so abstract in our communication, but this has really taught us how to be concrete and how to love each other on a whole new level. And so if you all have not done that, if you all are in a community and you're homeschooling separately, consider doing what Straightway Tennessee is doing, and you will benefit greatly. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So a good point to bring up is there's a lot of motivation from women initially coming into a community or even just this new found faith and this new changed mind. There's a lot of initiative to conquer things you've never done. Or even, let's say you have an opportunity to travel to community and you want to produce and you want to get in the kitchen and you want to do the things that, if I can say, are out front and open, but the children get neglected. It's a very huge responsibility. It's a huge priority, and it needs to be just as big, if not bigger, than everything else. You want to cook? Be a mom. You know, you want to be in the greenhouse? Be an auntie. You know, these children are banking on our relationships. We are the ones that are going to teach them the Father's love. The way that the Father will manifest his love is by his people, by his women, from our nature towards these little ones. So just to drop that in your mind, just make it a priority to speak to them, not to shun them because, oh, he has a behavior difficulty or mom is not correcting him right or et cetera. He gets on my nerves. You know, there's a lot of American independence inside of you that you can deny when you come together in a tribal format. It's just as priceless to be around children and never fellowship with the sisters. But your mind has to change. and I'm not promoting not fellowshipping with the sisters and having an imbalance or being an auntie every Shabbat, but check your spirit, how much you really pour into another child or love them or how much you desire to show them the Father or what he's done for you. Makes sense, Mother?
It makes perfect sense, and I know this is not the topic tonight, but I want to add something else. You know, you talked about how women will sometimes shy away from communicating with another child or really getting to know another child because we say they have behavior issues or, you know, whatever it is. But you have to realize their quote-unquote behavior issue may be stemming from the fact that you have rejected them. You know, it may be stemming from the fact that you refuse to interact with them. So you have to not take things so personally and put that aside and really see what that child needs and be willing to give that child what he or she needs. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. Be long-suffering with that child and don't give up. You want to captivate a child's heart, just stay steady. Stay steady. Keep smiling. Keep attempting hugs even when they deny you, et cetera. I've had quite a few people teach me how to be a better auntie and mother, et cetera. Even pastor being one of them, how the children love him. Grandma Barb, shout out to her. Quite a few sisters here. But hallelujah. So tonight I was asked a question, and, you know, sometimes I'll say, I don't really got a long show planned, I promise. It's never our intention to talk for a long amount of time. Sometimes it literally just falls into the two-hour category. But tonight seems short unless we go on. So just want to answer one question. That's it, one question. Had a sister ask, and actually this sister doesn't know that she's actually been a huge part of shows in the background, or, you know, more than one show has been generated from answering her questions. There's a little bit of background noise from you, Mother Jennifer, or it might not be from you, but from something. She asked me a question, and the question is, how do you walk in the spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Okay, so I want to talk about that for a moment. I want to tie in a couple of thoughts. Actually, when she asked me the question, I didn't reply, and I didn't think it would be a show, but it's all that I had on my mind today. It really is, so let's talk about it. Let's go to Galatians 5 really quickly. We're going to read a few verses from Galatians and a few verses from Romans, my sisters, if you want to write them down just to show you our formulation of thought. And Mother Jennifer has no idea which way we're going, and nor do I. We hope to just form a good conversation and handle this question for you. So if you are someone who wants to walk in the Spirit and you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh and you want to concretely apply that, it's going to be different for each of you, but I think you might get something from tonight's dialogue. So hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians 5:16. Mother Jennifer, let me see. Can you read 16 and I think it's 17? Yeah, 16, 17.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
All right, so mine says, hallelujah, Scriptures version, and I say, walk in the Ruach, and you shall not accomplish the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Ruach, and the Ruach against the flesh. Okay? Let's just take it step by step and go slow, because it's the only question that we may even pose tonight. Walk in the Spirit. What does walk mean, right? It's not walking just with your feet, but walking means to live. Walking means to follow. I'm just pulling up the words that are in my memory bank. Walk would mean progress, to go forward, to conduct yourself in a manner, to regulate yourself in a manner, or just to make use of an opportunity that you have. See, walking in the Spirit is an opportunity. Yes, it's a choice, but it's an opportunity. So walk in the Spirit means I will not yield to the will of my flesh. Because it's saying here that the flesh lusts against the spirit. So in your life, your confession is, I will not yield myself to the will of my flesh. To walk in the spirit is demanding your flesh to produce the fruit of a clean spirit. If your flesh is producing spiritual things, the fruit of the spirit, then you're resisting. And I think that's, Mother Jennifer, the next word that we can hinge on for a moment. My sisters, resistance. Remember, resistance is something that is mental and psychological. So that means it's also in your emotional realm. And Mother Jennifer, if you think of any questions when I speak, I'm trying to present it in a way we can grab it. Okay, so resistance. Remember, I'm not saying resisting Yah. In this instance, I'm saying resisting your flesh. That's what we're speaking of. You are to resist your flesh. So it's in how you think, but it's combined with how you feel. So it's related to your emotions, yes, but expressed by what your flesh is doing. Let me explain. You feel a certain way. You might even hear a certain thing or even be led by or hear another voice that's not of Yah, a voice that we say and teach is a demonic spirit. You might just have a stronghold in your flesh, a nature in your flesh that is contrary to the spiritual fruit that you're supposed to produce, but you are to resist that flesh. So resisting is producing and putting up a strength against the thing that is driving you to walk in the flesh. Mother?
And Sister Ashley, a lot of times we miss the fact that, you know, in order to really, truly resist, we have to first submit to Yah. I remember, I believe it was almost a year ago when you talked about requirements, how when you are seeking repentance, you know, there are requirements that must be met. And in this case, you know, we're told to submit to Yah, resist the devil, and he will flee. A lot of us want to go to just resisting, and we've missed the whole part of submitting to Yah. So we have to remember that our submission to Yah is first and foremost, and in that submission to Yah, you're going to resist your flesh, if that makes sense. Sister Ashley?
Yes, it makes sense. So again, we're covering Galatians 5:16. Walking in the spirit so that you do not accomplish or fulfill the lust of your flesh. All right? So one of the things that the Ruach regulates inside of you is submission. Your submission inside of you and the way that you're able to produce submission is an expression of how much you love the Father. If you are inclined to submit or ready to submit at all times as a humble and obedient servant unto the Ruach, then you are also willing to deny the lust of the flesh at all times, never being driven by the presence of it. When you practice submitting yourself to someone else's will, see, that's where we lose America right there. To hell with them. When you practice submitting and subjecting yourself to someone else's will, you are also denying your flesh. Point being, my sisters, your flesh in opposition of obedience, it's there. It exists. It is what it is. It wars against you. Have great confidence and peace in your submission going against the flesh that is present in you. Submission, remember, is willing to do what others want, or the practice of yielding yourself to the authority of another. See, in community, we have the opportunity to do that. I came in wanting to practice that. So you are to practice and then master it. There's nothing in your will that is so important that you need to submit yourself to it. I'm going to read you a quote here. It's not safe to use your intellect. It's not safe to use your logic that is apart from the instructions of the Most High, because this is the system of thought that the adversary uses. Okay? So you want to resist your flesh and not resist the Spirit of Yah. The Spirit of Yah that beckons you to follow His commandments and follow His established authority through submission, even to your master or husband. Mother Jennifer?
And we have to understand that, you know, if you put yourself in a position where you're having a hard time resisting the flesh, there's a mindset that has to be dealt with, the mindset that I belong to myself. I make my own decisions. You know, it may not be stated outwardly, but there's still an inward communication that is saying, I belong to me. It's all about me, instead of understanding the fact that you are a possession. You know, you don't belong to yourself. You are actually a possession. Sister Ashley?
So I'm going to jump over to Romans. And I'm going to go to chapter 6, and I'm going to piece together a few verses just as I, like, spot read them, my sister. So we'll kind of read from 13 to 20, somewhere in there. Following might confuse you, so please just listen for a moment, because I'm not going to read everything in context as you can. But Romans 6, 13 says, I'm going to go to 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey it in its desires. Okay, so I'm gonna just put in flesh. We're not changing the word, but I'm gonna put in flesh right there. Therefore, do not let flesh reign in your mortal body to obey it in its desires. Right, so whatever your flesh is continually telling you to do, a lot of women are determined to feel rejection in their flesh and respond according to that rejection. So maybe that's your area. Maybe it's overeating. You know, maybe it's whatever your flesh is fulfilling. Okay, it says do not let flesh reign. Don't let it. Okay, you got to war against it. It says neither present your members, neither meaning do not let. Okay, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. So you're not going to just continue to do this repetitious pattern over and over until it's sin. It says present yourself to the Almighty Yah as being alive from the dead. Like, now I'm alive. Now I have a reason to live. Now I have an authority, someone to follow, something to submit to, right? It says sin should not rule over you. And do you not know that to whoever you present yourself servants to obedience, you are also servants of the one whom you obey? So who are you constantly obeying, continuously obeying? If you don't have the fruit of peace in an area, you are potentially submitted to the wrong force and condemning yourself, because you know you should be submitted to the Ruach in that area. So you get the victory, and then he'll give you the peace. All right? It says also, Paul says, I speak as a man because of the weakness of your flesh. All right? So he's conquered a lot of things in his flesh. So he's passed all the base level stuff. He's trying to teach you how. He says, I speak as a man because of the weakness of your flesh. For even as you presented your members as servants of uncleanness, and you presented your members servants of lawlessness. So now you need to present your members as servants of righteousness. Right? So I'm going to go to chapter 7. Let me see where I want to go. It says, when you were in the flesh, the passions of sin through the Torah were working in your members to bear fruit to death. Let me just leave it like that. When you were in the flesh. Right? Everyone came from that rhythm, that style, that lifestyle, that pattern. Everyone came from that. Everyone manifested flesh, having no limits, no boundaries, no regulations. So now you have an opportunity. You squander the opportunity when you continually get defeated in an area that Yah has already said, you must do this. You do it. I'm going to tell you why. Galatians 5. Let's go to 5. Those who are in the Messiah have impaled the flesh with its passions and its desires. Some translations say crucified. Those who are in the Messiah, that's me, that's you listening, right? You've crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. That needs to be your testimony. So to crucify is to what? Deny the emotional influence of your flesh. For a lot of women, it is the emotions. That's the flesh drive, to feel this way, feel this way, and feel this way. You actually are sovereign of your feelings. I tell women that all the time. You're sovereign over how you feel. You're leaning to a sovereign creator to take away a feeling when it is your feeling. Right? So you crucify that feeling. You refuse to feel it. You yield yourself to the Ruach. Mother Jennifer.
And we have to remember, when you're fighting against the lust of the flesh, you have to remember what the fruit of the Spirit is and learn how to make up your mind in any given situation. You know, you have to literally say, okay, I need to choose love. I need to choose joy. I'm choosing peace. I'm choosing to suffer long. I'm choosing to be gentle. I'm choosing to operate in faith. I'm choosing temperance. I'm choosing meekness in this situation. Whatever situation it is, choose the fruit of the Spirit so that you can truly walk in the Spirit and not give way to the lust of the flesh. But really go through the fruit of the Spirit and choose that and make your mind up. Sister Ashley?
It's about leaning on the Creator and leaning on the Father and trusting in the Father, believing in the Father, all those cliches, if you can say it, that Christianity has taken from us. Believing and leaning on the Father, my sisters, has not ever been your flesh's practice. So now that your flesh is strong and it's manifesting itself and you're fulfilling the lust of it and you're in a war, as Paul says, the good that I want to do, I do it not. And the evil I do not want to do, that's my practice, right? It's this sinful flesh he discusses. It still can't be an excuse. He said, because I see another law in my members that battles against the Torah of my mind and brings me into captivity, but I delight in the Torah of Yah according to the inward man. So I find that law, when I want to do good, evil's present with me. It's like, it's not defeat, my sisters. It's just an acknowledgement of your dependency of our Creator. See, I talked to sisters, Mother Jennifer, maybe you have the same story, because you try to give a woman confidence or help her find her confidence in her dependency. Often, the Hasatan's, his way that he comes against your mind is to submit to your mind that what you're going through, you should be able to bear. And so you have the pride of a resistance of the Ruach that says, this is silly, this is petty. Like, you need to get this together. And so a lot of times it will keep a woman from expressing humility to her Creator and saying, I'm in need of you. Because you're already in a state of I, should be doing this without you. And so when you are warring against the flesh and the lust of the flesh, and you're yielding yourself to the Creator and the Ruach inside you, you are in full surrender to the Creator to say, I need you. And out of your mouth and out of your confessions, you're saying, why I need you. It doesn't matter how much the pride of your mind belittles the battle you're in. Help me out, Mother Jennifer.
You know, we need to understand that the strength of Yah is made perfect when we are weak. And Pastor talked about this on Sabbath. You know, we really have to put ourselves in a position where we're going to Yah in our weakness and not being so prideful. You know, we allow so much pride to get in the way where we won't go and we won't do what's required. We won't repent. We won't come to the Father and admit our wrongs. We won't come to Him in repentance. We won't come to Him and, you know, just do what is required to just get ourselves right and to get relationships right and to do whatever we have to do so that we represent Him properly. But He says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so we have to be able to acknowledge that weakness so that His strength can come through and we can be who we need to be. Sister Ashley?
For some of you, your weakness is you're weak against the works of the flesh. Some are listed in Galatians, and here in chapter 5 it says adultery, whoring, uncleanness, indecency, idolatry, drugs, sorcery, hatred, jealousies, rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, it goes on and on, drunkenness, murders, envy. So whatever the strength of your flesh is, you are weak against it. And you will be an overcomer if you can change the circumstance through the strength that Yah places inside you. You overcome your circumstance by not yielding to that flesh. See, a little something about Ashley. If there's anyone in my life that makes things possible, as Yah says, all things are possible, I have a cloud of witnesses. I have a lot of people in front of me. And I just have the living word that I believe in. I don't walk, or I refuse to walk in defeat. It's not, I refuse to say that the flesh is going to conquer me. And I share that so that you can say it. So that you can come out of that expression of weakness. Yes, you're expressing it to the Father, but as you mature and master the flesh, you can say, this no longer has rule over me. Why? Because you've resisted the flesh long enough and strong enough to reconstruct your emotional state, right? Reconstruct your senses, not be ruled or dominated by it anymore. And remember, I'm going back to it, Mother Jennifer, but a huge factor and puzzle piece in conquering your flesh, or the area of the flesh that you desire, my sisters, in conquering that area, it's submission. Even if it's submission in another area. Okay, you're bound by food, but how about submit over here so that you can get the victory over there? It's very intricate how the Father works. All things are related. And in the Quran, it speaks that wives are to be obedient. But a word that it uses, and no, I don't read the Quran, nor have I, but I had often reflected on, you know, how it says like Quran proverbs or Quran wisdom or things that, and yes, it's worldly wisdom to me, my opinion, because I live by the Torah and the word, but it does have some wisdom that you can apply. And it speaks of wives needing to be obedient, but a word that it uses, Mother Jennifer, is adaptable. I like that word, adaptable. Right, so a wife needs to be adaptable. That's the whole circumstance of a woman, right? That's why a man would take a virgin, because she's going to adapt from her father to him, because she's going to be pliable to his desires. She's going to be versatile. She's going to change her mind to him, and she's going to be flexible. And so submitting yourself to the Ruach is the same process. It's saying that I'm willing to do what the Ruach expects out of me because I'm going to yield myself to the authority of this Ruach. Because I am ready to submit, I'm unresisting of his spirit, and I'm humbly obedient. And so you practice, your love is replicated. It's producing, your love for the Father is in your everyday expression to the people around you. Often, Mother Carol had done a show, Mother Jennifer, a long time ago, talking about how you are a rejector, or some of us are rejectors. Like, okay, yes, everybody's been rejected, right? But what about you rejecting? And that's so pivotal because your love of Yah is manifested by the rejection you produce. So there's things in front of you, whether it's your flesh or whether it's someone else, that you just say, I can't do that. I can't love that person. I can't submit to him. I can't deny my flesh in this area. I can't. And so you're saying, I don't love you, Yah, because this is bigger than you. This is bigger than me. This is bigger than you. And as I remind you of the mind that I've always applied, is that we have no excuse to not conquer any mountain in front of us, any mountain. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, you know, a lot of times we focus on the struggle instead of focusing on who Yah is and our submission to him. And, you know, you said that you simply just believe the word. You know, you believe what it says, period. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, why is it so hard for us to connect belief, you know, the belief of who Yah is, the belief of what he says in his word, the belief of his promises that he has for us? You know, it's, why is that so difficult to connect with our faith?
Hallelujah. There's a lot of different thoughts that come to my mind when I was hearing Pastor this Shabbat. Blessed be the Father for every message that we've ever received, and for the endurance of our shepherd trying to get us to understand concepts that are unreachable for the Gentile mind. Hey, so he was talking about the difference in faith and belief, or at least saying that we have faith but not belief. And initially, I would say that we have the faith in our Creator and his potential, and we have the faith in our Creator and what he can do for us or those around us. We lack the belief that we can be used, or we lack the belief that I am a part of it, right? So there's no connection between me and Yah. It's either all Yah, I'm going to do this, Yah, we're going to praise him because he's going to do it, but I'm not doing anything. Also, I consider how the Father has said, you know, after these things, you still don't believe. Like in Numbers, when Yah said to Moshe, well, how long will this people provoke me? How long will they say, or how long will they not believe me for all the signs that I've showed them? You know, one of the things that a Christian mindset and a religious mindset that we brought over here is that we believe in Yah to manifest his greatness and his signs. We believe in Yah for his goodness, but we don't believe him for judgment. If we believed him for judgment, we would fear him, and we would know him to be a judge, and we would know that we cannot behave according to our flesh. If I say I can do this and get away with it, I can make my own decisions, and I can lay in my bed and plot wickedness and do whatever I want, I'm saying I don't believe. So your belief is based on the level of truth that you accept. How much truth you actually deny. So you can have faith for your Creator all you want, but you're denying his existence by the application that's supposed to come from your vessel. We're supposed to be mountain movers, going from faith to faith, full of possibilities, not impossibilities. When you say in John, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. And that's scary. So you want to remove everything that's inside your vessel, that's everything that you have to face in life, that you've meditated on, that you've spoken, that took Yah out of it, out of the equation, because you don't see him, and he's not in front of you, and he's working in someone else's life, but he's not in yours. We have to have our own testimony for ourselves. Hallelujah. That's what I thought of. I don't know if I really. Another example was in 2 Kings, and he has said notwithstanding they would not hear, they hardened their necks like the neck of their fathers, and they did not believe in me, Yahweh, their Elohim. So they harden their necks like the neck of their fathers. Some people are just truly committed to do whatever they want to do just to hear a great word about a Yah that exists. You know, to get in a habitual religious pattern of coming and accepting with mouth service everything that they're hearing, but yet not producing anything from their own belief. Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, Sister Ashley, just like Pastor said on Sabbath, continuing to think like the world is what will bring separation. You know, you'll be separated from Yah when you continue to think like the world. And the world has taught, such a high level of unbelief within us. You know, it's taught you to just go to church on Sunday, get a good feeling and then leave and do whatever you want to do during the week and then come back again on the next Sunday. And, you know, and when you come out of that, there really has to be a change in the mind. You can't continue to think as the world because it is going to separate you from Yah. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. If you have any phone calls, you can call in. I'm really wrapping up all my thoughts. If you have any questions, you can. Hey, I got one in the chat room, so hold on. I'll go there. Remember, wives, to be obedient. What that means, my sisters, to give you comfort until it becomes your nature to obey. It should be your nature to obey, first and foremost. If you had a pure mind, if you were, if you had a virgin mind, as you hear us speak of, you would be willing to do what your husband says because you would be yielded to his authority, right? So you'll be ready to obey him until it becomes your nature, which is most of those who listen or follow striving to get that nature, and they're going against their flesh. When you submit, my sisters, you are submitting to someone else's will. You're not saying, I don't have my own. Because maybe you have an idea and an opinion and a will, et cetera, or a way that you would do it because you weren't married in a pure-minded state or you haven't adapted to your husband yet. So what you're going to do is you're going to practice putting your desire lower than his until you have crucified your flesh, impaled your flesh. So you put your desire lower. You're going to go this way. He says that. You go that. You're going to make this today. He wants that. You make that. You get it? And you keep putting your desire lower until it becomes your nature to submit and yield yourself to the authority of another. Remember, to produce and really admitting continuously that you will do what someone else wants or needs. I mean, that is your desire, right? To say, man, I want to be like that. I want to be that person for the Father. Right? For the Father, that's who I want to be. It's not just, you know, as a ministry, we're all women that come in with the wrong mind believe that we've been swayed or brainwashed to think a certain way because they have a man or a husband that they believe is not worthy of being loved because he has this going on and that going on and he did this wrong and, okay, legitimately, he's got issues, right? But you're also saying that I'm not willing to love Yah this way. I'm not willing to serve Yah in this manner. And the idea is, or the belief inside of you is, I love the Father so much, there's no one I wouldn't produce love for because, hey, I'm not a debtor to the flesh. I'm in debt by the Spirit. Like, how can I love my Creator more? What can I do for you, Father? To die in the flesh should be easy. It will get that way for you. Because when you increased your love for him and he's showed you his love unconditionally, you are willing to, what can I do? What can I produce? Right? Another example of submitting is defending your husband and going to battle for him on your knees, on your face, or in his presence, or around someone else. Defending him and going to battle for him, not the one that's destructing him or destroying him, because you're allowing your psychological realm, your mental and emotional state to actually dictate your environment. And that's where we get into witchcraft and sorcery. That's where we actually manipulate the minds of other people, because we sway everyone according to how we see or think, how we perceive. When those with mature minds would say, if you love the Father, you can produce that love for the Father by your submission and surrender to this man. You just can. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
And, you know, Sister Ashley, you know, we talked about submitting yourselves one to another. And I think we truly forget to submit ourselves to each other as sisters. Pastor said on Friday night that, you know, we need to really, the women, we need to really be working on devoiding ourselves of envy, jealousy, and competition, and really work on cultivating relationships with one another. And in order to cultivate a relationship, we have to learn how to submit ourselves to each other. You just can't be in a position and think that, okay, everybody's just going to submit to me. No, you have to put yourself in a position where you are going to submit. You know, how can I help you? What can I help you with? What can I help you do? You can't just be expecting someone to just be at your service all the time. We have to learn how to submit to one another and to give to one another. We have to learn how to understand one another. We have to learn that everybody is not the same. You can't communicate with each sister exactly the same. You have to learn each and every one of your sisters and learn, you know, what she'll receive and what will be tough for her to receive. And you have to come alongside her and really help her. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to learn how to cultivate relationships. And we have to be willing to have the tough conversations, to admit when we're wrong, and to work on getting it right. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I'm going to go over to the chat room and read the question. Question says, how do you find the balance between going to him? I assume your him is the Most High. How do you find the balance between going to him and being weak and saying you need him, but also knowing that you have to help yourself too? All right, how do you find that balance? Well, let's consider your weakness for a moment. Let's go there, Mother Jennifer, in our thoughts, okay?
Sure.
Okay, so why are you weak? Let's see, ask yourself that first. Why am I weak? Okay, David says I'm weak by fasting. My knees are weak through fasting. My flesh fails because of fatness. Like I'm, you know, if I can say starving, but, you know, he's fasting and he's weak. Are you weak because your emotions are controlling you? Are you weak because, I don't know, what else can I ask to stimulate that thought, Mother Jennifer, before we answer the question?
I think emotions is a good one, Sister Ashley. You know, you can have weakness through your emotions, allowing your emotions to rule you, to say things that can be really hurtful. So I think emotions would be a good one. We could just use it as an example. Go ahead.
Emotions. Ezekiel said, how weak is thy heart? Seeing you do all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. What are you doing to weaken yourself? What works in the flesh? Or, like she said, what emotion are you allowing to weaken you? So there's never a... If you're in production mode, you're going from faith to faith, glory to glory, you're constantly overcoming no matter how short or long or how it takes, or if you're learning lessons and you're applying, then you're never going to make the Father weary for continually leaning on him for your emotional state. if you are leaning on the Father for your emotional state and you're not producing, then you have an imbalance and you're not changing who you are. So you're not allowing His, once again, another point, walk in the Spirit, right? You learn the mind of your Father. You learn that He loves you unconditionally, not based upon how you feel in this moment, not based upon how she or he feels in this moment, not based upon someone's or your response to correction. It's not. He's not in the feeling realm, right? The only feeling He's going to give you is His anointing, if I can say that and be pure and correct. But so continually telling yourself to think as your Creator thinks. It's something that you deny yourself and the lust of it. You deny, throughout our day, we will have a planned, organized day, a priority, and then we'll function in control. If anything changes that, we go awry. And the Father's not like that, right? If you don't overcome today, you hate yourself. The Father's not like that. Your earthly father didn't love you. The Father's not like that. There's a lot of accusations against Him. So there's no, you're not burdening the Father, who is a presence and a spirit who abides in you, and He's in the atmosphere, right? We're communicating with our Creator who hears all things. You're not burdening Him. He's not going to get off His throne just for you. So a lot of it is learning how to think like He thinks. A lot of it comes just by experience. A lot of it comes by you applying and failing or not. So sometimes you just need to, every single one of us, you need to check your emotions and get a hold of them. That's for certain. Because they're not like Yah. And a lot of victory, as you get victory over demonic spirits, your feelings should get smaller and smaller, or I should say less and less, like the lust of the flesh, until there's just perfect peace. You should get to a place where you're able to cast down feelings very quickly, reject things that are not like Yah very quickly. So as I share with a lot of women, you just shorten your response time. I've said it on the show before, instead of staying down for 2 and 3 weeks, this is the help yourself part of your question. Instead of staying bugged for 4 or 5 days, be bugged for an hour. Get it to 10 minutes. Get it to 5. You know what? You're just going to shorten your amount of allowing the enemy to control you, because you're going to rely upon the Father. If he brought you in your sin and in your shame and said, I will save you and redeem you, walk this out, then He's not going to reject you for warring against the flesh and accepting His Spirit, Mother Jennifer.
And you know, Sister Ashley, a lot of times there are areas where you'll see, excuse me, your own weaknesses in yourself. You know, you'll start to see those things, and you have to remember, what have you prayed for? You know, there may be things that you have prayed for, like David prayed, you know, search me, Yah, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts. See if there's anything, any way in me that's wicked, and lead me in the way everlasting. So if you're praying that, the Father is definitely going to do what you ask. So you have to remember these things. When these things present themselves, that you have prayed for this, and you have asked Him to show you, you have asked Him to expose you, and you have asked Him to lead you in the way that's everlasting. So we have to remember what we're asking for, and then we have to remember that He will give you a way of escape. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If our Messiah said the flesh is weak, then it's weak, my sisters. Trying to strengthen it might have been your goal, but really you should take your efforts to Yah being made perfect through your weakness. Letting Yah conquer things through you. Another verse was that the Messiah, was the Messiah. No, Paul said that what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, Yah sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemning sin in the flesh. That's what your nature should be, condemning sin, not allowing it, not promoting it, not being so easily given over to it, tempted by it, and just speaking anything out of your mouth, you know, whoring after men, drinking every drink without any limitations, whatever the your flesh is weakened by. Christ condemned sin in the flesh, so we work for that nature to say, you're not going to have victory over me. Hallelujah. So if I can help you out, young daughter, to just continue to abide in him. Sometimes we rely upon the support of others too much, even if it is even the support of our own husband. What I mean by that is, you've heard Pastor's example, you've heard Mother Carol's example of he didn't cripple her by being her God, you know. All the times, really, you need to know him as your Yah. You need to allow him to teach you lessons. If you don't know, be still. If you don't know, wait. You know, you really just, you got your ears open up. Don't run yourself in a tizzy when you don't have the answers to everything. Don't condemn yourself or believe yourself going to hell when you can't submit in every single point you're trying. But don't make excuses either. Don't make excuses either. We're definitely, we can't ignore the things that are happening that our eyes can't see. There's much more happening that our eyes can't see than what we see in this temporal realm. There's something that's wanting you to submit yourself to obey something else other than your Creator. And even that should initiate a fire inside of you that says, I'm not going to obey it. You're going to turn against this thing, right? All right, let's see. Anything else from the chat room? No. I'll give you a moment if you want to call in, ask us anything. It doesn't have to pertain to tonight's show. Guest call in is 310-982-4226. I do want to read something for y'all. Here's a poem. It's interesting. I don't really know what it would be like, you know, because we are totally transformed women. We don't even relate to the women of this earth or any other culture or nation. We honestly don't. I really don't know what it would be like to hear us and what the thought process would be to resist us. You know, I know we have a collective force of love that keeps us and abides us under the pavilion and safety of our Creator. So here's a poem called Wicked Women. There's this wicked woman who has a heart of stone. She dresses so eccentric, her time is spent alone. She has a lot of knowledge that she uses to destroy. Waits till you're unaware her vices she will employ. A vulgar mouth when speaking, using four-letter words each time. She waits till you're off guard and she strikes on a dime. And all you feel is pity for the sadness of her days. She avoids any friendship, the woman with the wicked ways. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, this world has taught women to learn how to function by themselves without relationships of other women. And it teaches women how to be wicked, how to be the woman that you just read about. And then as you get older, you realize that you've pushed away so many people. You know, if you don't really put it in your heart to get things right, you've pushed away so many people that you'll end up alone. So if you have been this wicked woman, you know, this woman who Ashley just read about, you have to really purpose in your heart to get things right, to not be that woman, to admit your wrongs, and to really repent, to make a true change, not to be the same person, but to make a true change. And that is a part of cultivating the relationships. Sister Ashley?
So So one time, Pastor, the one who said it, that made me go check it out, because he had said, "Hell have no fury like a woman scorned." And I think he said, "That's not even in the Bible," something like that. And I was like, "I'm going to go check that out," you know, because it is a term that maybe many of us have heard. I've heard, and I guess just because of how it was written, half, you know, it had half in it, hell half. I just thought it was Bible, so I was kind of captivated by that thought, and I went and checked it out. Hell has no fury like a woman scorned. So it's actually, check this out. It means no one is angrier than a woman who has been rejected in love. No one is angrier than a woman who has been rejected in love. It was a proverb adapted from a line in a play called, like, The Mourning Bride by some English guy. Nobody cares. But it wasn't the scriptures. But no one is angrier than a woman who has been rejected in love. Think about that, because it's pivotal that you take yourself back to those rejecting moments and really overcome, because that was not a manifestation of your Father, your Heavenly Father. You know, don't hold him accountable to those things. No one can define your Yah for you. Like, he wants to show himself for you. You know, he has expressions of himself all throughout this ministry. And he, how do I say it? Don't put boundaries on yourself. I can't. You know, you define Yah's limits. You do. Now, he defines the manifestation of the limits, but you define his limits. So take the limits away. You know, believe all things are possible. Let him move the mountains. Just acknowledge him, be still, wait, etc. But when I think about, let's go back to that, hell has no fury like a woman. I had watched this guy's, you know, everybody's got a story of how they went to heaven or hell, right? I really have not watched a lot of those. I haven't. I've seen them pop up in the recommend on YouTube where somebody died and went to hell and went to heaven. I really didn't want to be captivated by them because I didn't want to believe anyone's story to be a lie if it wasn't. And I didn't want to believe someone's story if it wasn't true, you know, vice versa. But I was sent one by a righteous woman in the ministry, and so of course I watched it, if she supports it, and it was really captivating. And this young man had had an experience that one of the reasons why I even believed his story was how he said that hell was a place that every person longed for the Creator so much, and that longing was never full. It was an emptiness and a void that they had never experienced in their soul. It was a longing. And that brings me to hell has no fury like a woman scorned, because even in his testimony, hell didn't have fury like a woman. If hell is a place for longing for Yah, then hell is a place that creates a purge and a fire and a manifestation of love that a woman wouldn't express on earth. You know, that longing for the Most High that you're supposed to have, but yet it's driven by your flesh, you know, driven by the works of the flesh. So the fury and the seduction and the lust and the fulfillment of everything that you have right now and everything you want, it's just lust. It's just lust of this fleshly vessel. So if you can consider hell not even being a representation of the fury that you've manifested here, that's incredible, right? Because everybody thought it was this big, you know, devil with his pitchfork and everyone just burning for Yah's great anger that he has against him. How about the love that he had that no one else wanted to manifest and meet back to him? So he created a place that you would long for him forever. You wouldn't manifest it here and now. You want to fulfill your flesh in every other area. But hallelujah. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. I'm out of words and no phone calls. So we didn't have any emails to read. Nothing else to share with you guys. I should say women. Thank y'all for tuning in. Bless y'all. Love you dearly. Love you, Mother Jennifer. Pray that you will end the show.
The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of his love, and faith is the beginning of cleaving unto him. Shalom.